Bethel. Welcome to this weekend's fellowship. The title is Practicing the Holy Priesthood.
Amen.
So tonight we'll start off seeing what is God's desire for his people. What is really, truly on God's heart. So let's start in Exodus chapter 19. And we'll read verses 5 and 6 together. Exodus chapter 19. Verses 5 and 6.
Amen.
Now,
therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.
Amen.
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 Lord, may we be those who obey your voice.
Amen.
And keep your covenant.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Then you shall be a special treasure.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Lord, we want to be a special treasure to you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we desire to be this special treasure to you.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, to be those who obey your voice and keep your covenant.
Amen.
Yes, help us to obey your voice and to keep your covenant.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, we want to be your special treasure.
Amen.
To you above all the people.
Amen.
Amen.
For all the earth is yours.
Amen.
Amen. We want to obey you.
Amen.
You are the God of all the earth.
Amen.
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 We need the people that hear your voice.
Amen.
And we want to know your covenant.
Amen.
We may keep them.
Amen.
Yes. People that obey your voice.
Amen.
Keep your covenant.
Amen.
Forgive us, Lord, for all the times that we have not.
Right.
We pray that we learn to do this more and more.
Amen.
That we would be your special treasure.
Amen.
Yes, show us your covenant this weekend, Lord.
Amen.
We want to keep your covenant.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh,
may we be to you a kingdom of priests.
Amen.
And a holy nation.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Lord, may we all be to you a kingdom of priests.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, a holy nation.
Amen.
Amen. Fully set apart for your purpose.
Amen.
Teach us your way.
Amen.
Show us your paths.
Yes.
Your paths are in righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Pray that today you will raise up your kingdom of priests.
Amen.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Especially also with us here in Baptist.
Amen.
In North America.
Right.
Yes. Far East and in Europe.
Amen.
Even in China.
Yes.
Raise up your kingdom of priests.
Yes.
Amen.
Holy nation.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, over all the earth.
Amen.
Because the earth is yours.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord.
Raise up your holy nation.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Just a nation.
That's right.
A holy nation.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Holy nation.
Oh, Lord.
All the nations in this world are so corrupt.
Right.
Lord, we want to be a holy nation.
Amen.
A living testimony for you.
Amen.
And expressing God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we want to be that people that expresses your holiness.
Amen.
Not the expression of fallen man.
Amen.
But Lord, we want to be those who crucify the flesh.
Amen.
Really
be those who live according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Be holy.
Right.
You are holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Right.
Amen. And let's also read Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20.
But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt to be his people, an inheritance as you are this day.
Amen.
Thank you for such a high call.
Amen.
That you desire us to be your people.
Amen.
Even your inheritance.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll also read Revelation chapter 5. Verses 9 and 10. Yes. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10.
Singing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth."
Amen.
Praise the Lord for his wonderful plan for us.
Amen.
Not only has he redeemed us to God by his blood,
right,
out of every tribe, tongue, and nation, out of our old ways, out of Egypt. Egypt is a picture of this world. He's redeemed us out. Many Christians know this, but he also has redeemed us for a very specific purpose. And this is what may not be commonly known, that God's real heart desire is for us to be his own special people.
Right.
A holy priesthood.
Yeah.
And he says this not only in the Old Testament times, but also in the New Testament times.
Yes.
This was God's original desire for his people.
Yes.
It'd be a holy nation, set apart, perfect in his eyes, and to be his royal priesthood.
Amen.
And this is also God's plan for man during the millennial kingdom age. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. And read verse 6 together. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6.
Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Amen.
Lord, praise the Lord.
We see that there's such a wonderful goal, a wonderful purpose for our Christian life. God wants us to become kingdom of priests.
Amen.
To become kings and priests, to rule. Where?
On
this earth.
Amen.
And who will we be ruling with?
Christ.
Him. Christ. For 1,000 years.
Amen.
But there's a process for us to become priests.
Mm-hmm.
Old covenant times, it took them 5 years to enter into the practice of the priesthood. And what is the first duty of a priest? First duty of the priest is to worship the Father. So let's see, how is this applicable to us today? You look around in Christianity, you see many different interpretations. What is a priest? But let's look at what is it in God's eyes. Let's turn to John.
Speak up louder, please.
Sure. Let's turn to John, chapter 4, We'll read verses 23 through 24 together.
But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and reality. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and reality.
This truth here is more accurately translated to be our reality. Meaning that it's our real experience. It's an experiential truth to us. Mm-hmm. And not just like a doctrine or a teaching truth. This is really what God's desire is on His heart. For us to become priests. Priests to worship the Father. Mm-hmm. To worship Him in what? Spirit and reality.
Amen.
This is an act of obedience to Him. And it's not for us to follow with some kind of method. But it's out of love that we come to worship the Father. Mm-hmm. And is it a worship that we do the way we want? Or is it the worship to the Father in the way that He desires to be worshipped? As you look around to Christianity today, you see many different groups. A variety of different people. And some say, oh, I worship God in my painting. I worship God in my singing. I worship God in my surfing. But is this what God desires for His people to worship Him? Mm-hmm. Or is this just our concepts of us doing what we want and then saying, oh yeah, I'm worshiping God because it's convenient for me? Yeah. Well, let's turn to Deuteronomy. And let's read chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 together.
These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills, and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods, and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place. And there you shall go.
Amen.
There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes.
So we see that God is very specific, actually, in the way that He wants to be worshipped. Especially verse 8 here makes it. It's so straight and to the point. You shall not do every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This really is the Lord speaking to us today. Mm-hmm. If we to look around, especially in America, right, we can see many Christian groups doing whatever is right in their own eyes. Yeah. But what is it that God desires to be worshipped? He says we must worship Him in spirit and reality. Did He say with singing and loud noises? then why is it that we gather together every Sunday and sing praise songs and call that worship to the Father? This is not what he says, right? He even says, the ways of the nations, we shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, in verse 4. We see, music is a very worldly thing. Yes, you can have Christian songs, but there's so much music out there that's getting people riled up for very much different purposes. But what is it that the Lord calls us to do when we see the things of the world? In verse 2 he says, you shall utterly destroy all the places or the nations which you shall possess and serve their gods. Right? He wants us to destroy these things. They don't belong in his church. This is his place where he wants to be worshipped. He even says, verse 3, you shall utterly destroy their altars, their sacred pillars, all these things, their carved images of their gods, and destroy them from that place. Why? Because God desires his people to be holy. How can we be holy if there's still mixture with things of this world? This is a key point in how God wants to be worshipped. And then in verse 5, can we really worship God anywhere? Timo may say, I want to worship God over here. Sam may say, well, I like to worship God over here. And I say, well, for me, it's easier for me to worship God here. But what does it say? Verse 5, for you shall seek the place where the Lord
your God chooses.
Amen. Out of all of your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place.
Right.
And there you shall go.
Right.
And we'll be getting more in depth into this during the weekend fellowship, but this is a very important point. If we are to bring the true worship to the Father, we need to first bring it to the right place.
Yeah.
Amen. And then what is it that we bring? Well, verse 6, it tells us, you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, etc. We'll also be getting into this tomorrow. How we can experience Christ as these offerings in a very specific way in our day-to-day life. And these we can bring up to worship the Father in spirit and in our reality. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then also let's read verse in Malachi chapter 3. Let's read verses 8 through 10.
Will a man rob God?
Yet you have robbed me.
But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
You see that this is really God's desire is to be worshipped.
Can you speak louder, Jake?
God's desire was for his people to be worshipped. For his people to worship him. But when they did not worship him in the way that he wanted to be worshipped, in verse 8 here, it says they were actually robbing him. Robbing him of his tithes and offerings. Now here is he talking about, oh, I got to get my checkbook out because I'm robbing God. I need to give more into the basket. And then I'll receive many blessings. No, this is not what he's talking about here.
Right.
This is Christianity in the many places that says, you can't outgive God and then the basket comes around. But where does the money go? Does God need our money?
No.
Remember we read the verse that all the earth is his. Whose picture is on the money? His various presidents, the people of the land, Caesar. So, this is not what he's talking about here, but he's talking about the true worship, the offerings. This is Christ in us that is well-pleasing to the Father.
Yeah.
It's not our good works. It's not anything that we can create under our own power.
Right.
But this, as we'll see this weekend, really is Christ living in us, changing our being.
Right.
And it's Christ that was that one offering that was fully satisfied to the Father. And so we see that God's desire is for us to become a holy and royal priesthood. To learn how to become a priest means we need to learn how to offer to God what is rightfully His. These offerings. And we want to do it out of love. It's not a method. And if we don't do it, we are robbing God of what is His. So may the Lord really speak to us this weekend, how we can get deeper into this practice. We invite all of you to also worship God with us. Amen.
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 Yes, the proof is that in verse 10, that they may be money in.
No.
No. What did they say?
Food.
What do you say? Chicken? Steaks? What kind of food?
Spiritual steaks.
Spiritual food.
Spiritual steaks.
Real spiritual food. Yes. Both God is enjoying it for us.
Yes.
All the offerings God told Moses. Tell my people at the appointed time not to forget to bring me my food. So Christ has all his wonderful offerings. The real food, not the doctrines, not the message given by the pastors, is the food, but the offerings brought by the priesthood.
Right.
Is firstly food for God, and then God will distribute it also for the priesthood.
Amen.
It's also the food of the priests. Food in God's house. So who's going to bring the food?
We are.
Exactly. We all should learn to bring the food to God's house. To satisfy Him always.
Amen.
The Son says. And this is why tonight the word is precious, priestly. You can ask the Christians today everywhere, whether he's a believer, yeah, I'm a believer. Christian, yes, I'm a Christian. But if you ask them, are you a priest? No. Where are the priests? The Catholic Church. They are the ones, those in that lockdown. They are the priests. But what about the rest? You see, the enemy has, in a very subtle way, twisted truth to annul the priesthood for everybody and just for the false priests.
Yeah.
It's definitely a false priesthood. And they are the ones that are called the priests. Can you imagine that? But today, praise the Lord, we are all the priests.
Amen.
Are you a priest?
Yes.
Then we have to do our duty, priest. We have to do our duty. I cannot just say I'm a priest after a lot of work. I ask you, are you an engineer? Yes. Oh, what do you do? I'm unemployed. I don't have a job. Or, I quit. I retired. There's no such thing. No.
Retired engineer.
It is very important. This is one of his wonderful, I wouldn't call it a profession, but it is our rightful calling. Let's turn to Numbers 18. Verse 7. Let's read it to her.
Therefore you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service.
A
gift.
Do you mean to say the priesthood is a gift? A gift? Really? Do you consider the priesthood as a gift? Priest Sarah? Or is it, oh, I need to bring an offering again. Oh, no, I don't want to be a priest. It's too difficult. Right? Did you ever consider it as a wonderful privilege? A priest. A priest is a gift. Given by God to you. Hey, mercy. You receive a very wonderful gift. Of course, salvation is by grace. Right? But apart from salvation, God gives you a very special gift. A very special gift. Which is a priesthood. Many times we do not appreciate. Very sad. Very sad. Somebody told you, are you a priest? No, of course I'm not a priest. I didn't say that. No. You go to the theological cemetery. I'm not ordained. This is the concept in the majority of Christians. Today, we are like the sons of Aaron. You remember in Hebrews chapter 2, right? I and my children, in Christ, that I is the great high priest, just like Isaac, and his sons who are his sons. But we are his sons. And a wonderful gift given by God to us. It's a privilege. It's a very special gift. A high gift. Precious gift.
Amen.
A very special gift that God has given us. And you need to treasure it. Otherwise you would think, oh, okay, it's so difficult. I cannot make it. That we can enter into the Holy of Holies, serve His altar, touch all His wonderful offerings, and enter behind the veil. To do with all those wonderful things in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies. This is a privilege. I hope the Lord will really open our eyes to stir up our spirit.
Amen.
To give you as a gift, and it's as a service. This is a priestly service.
Amen.
Not just doing any kind of thing. Of course, there are many things to do for God. But this particular service, only the priests can. Nobody else. And you can even see in Ezekiel at the end, not even the Levites could even do those kind of a service because they were unfaithful. So they lost the privilege. Only Zadok, his sons, his descendants, could perform those special services and bring food, put it on the table in the Holy of Holies for God to enjoy. It's a special privilege. It's a very special service. Just like the king's cup bearer. You know, Nehemiah is a cup bearer of the king. Don't think it's just a job. No, you're not trusted. You're not trusted by the king. You cannot be a cupbearer. You know, it's very important. Just anybody, you know. My the king.
Exactly.
You must be really trusted. So, what a privilege, what a gift. So, let it do that service.
Amen.
It's a service.
Yeah.
It's a service. That means you need to get into the service. Otherwise, what's the use of a priesthood if you're doing nothing?
Mm.
Right. But the outsider, listen, who comes near shall what? Very serious. This service is a special, super special privilege. Like our brother shared, both in the Old and the New Covenant, God's plan and purpose never changed. The only thing that changes in the Old Covenant days, they are offering. In the New Covenant, no, it's over. We are offering spiritual sacrifices. The reality of the offerings is Christ as the spiritual sacrifices. And it does not mean that you have to kill Christ every day.
Of course not.
But you have to enjoy the experience. This bring those experiences to Christ. And this is not only a privilege, but this will also qualify you to be a first fruits. Because you are preparing Christ as the first fruits of the Father. Is it a link? Not just bringing anything. God specified the firstborn of the cattle, the first fruits of all the produce, and the best of the produce you have to bring there to the house of God. So, Can you imagine if you are enjoying this first fruits all the time, every week?
Yeah.
What will you become?
First fruits. First fruits.
Well, you all like to be first fruits. People are angry when they hear this. You think you are the only one that can be the first fruits? I don't care if they're mad or not, but can you imagine that you are not just preparing any kind of an offering for a father? Oh, I almost like this accent, but I'm not deserving. I bring this offering. That will not be a good first
place.
The Lord, specifically. The first ones, the first born, the best, the top tens. So what are you going to do? That is why this priesthood tonight, you need to realize, is a wonderful privilege, because not only will God be satisfied, but we will become the first ones.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We will become like him. Consider this.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 So we need to thank the Father for giving us the gift of the priest.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. With all the fellowship concerning this past year regarding the signs of the time that the Lord is coming back soon, and his desire is he wants the first fruits, those who mature early to become kings and priests. So this should already be a question in us. How do we become first fruits? How do we become prepared to be kings and priests? And I very much appreciate, from the time we began to speak about the priesthood, it became very clear and very evident that is a very practical and tangible way to be perfected and to become qualified. A few months ago, in our Facebook post, we spoke about being first fruits. And there was a person who commented in particular, and he said, "Don't focus too much about being first fruits. As long as we love God and we love his people, that's good enough." And if we were to not focus on, you know, when I heard this, I said, how can we not focus on the matter of first fruits? Because it's been written in Revelation. And now we can also see it here in the priesthood in a very practical way. This is something that we cannot ignore and we cannot dismiss. And actually, I didn't feel too respond to that kind of a post, but I was considering, if we really love God, the Lord did say, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
And if his commandments is to be the holy and royal priesthood, then we better find out what is this holy and royal priesthood.
Right.
And if we really love his people, then even the more we need to get into the matter of the holy and royal priesthood. Because it's not just individual priests, but it is a priesthood. Meaning it's all of us together serving God as a kingdom of priests,
right,
as a priesthood. Right? And so this becomes very important to pay attention to. Right? There's a song that we have, and one of the songs says, don't let us miss the mark. If the goal is to become kings and priests, and we ignore the matter of the holy and royal priesthood, then we most likely will miss the mark.
Definitely.
It's just like in a university. If you're going to graduate as an engineer in a university, you can take so many classes, but if you don't take the classes that get you to be qualified as an engineer, you will miss the mark. And when it comes time to certify that you are graduating as an engineer, they will come back and say, not qualified, because you have not practiced and taken the classes required. And so it's good that we are spending this weekend fellowship to see what is the priesthood. And not just to see what it is, but really to enter into the practice of the holy and the royal priesthood.
Amen.
And it has to be according to God's prescribed way.
Yeah.
Not according to our own concepts and not according to our own traditions.
Right.
It was good that Jake had us read through these verses in Deuteronomy. Some may have asked, well, aren't we in a New Testament? Why do we have to go back to the Old Testament? Isn't the priesthood for, you know, the Israelites? Well, it's important to see in John chapter 5. There's a verse here, John chapter 5, verse 46. John chapter 5, verse 46. And let's read this together.
For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me.
The law.
No.
What did Moses write about?
The Lord
Jesus. He wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
That means everything that was written in the books of Moses, especially like in Exodus, Genesis through Deuteronomy, everything in there, Moses wrote not about the law, but he wrote concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning Christ is the reality of everything that was written in these five books. We also know in Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, it says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ.
Right.
So that means Deuteronomy chapter 12 is very pertinent to all of us. That we do need to see that there is Christ is being described. He is the reality. He is the substance. And so as we get into the matter of the priesthood, we should see that Christ is the reality. All of the offerings that were written in the book of Leviticus,
right,
this is really a shadow, and Christ is the substance behind it. And when we begin to labor to experience the Lord in such a way, then this is what will cause change in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what will eventually qualify us to become the first fruits, to become the holy royal priesthood, this kingdom of priests that God desires at his coming back. So may the Lord really open our eyes. As we spend time in this, we have to see Christ as the reality of everything in the priesthood.
Amen.
And in the offerings and in the feasts.
Amen. Right.
It's good for us to see that a priest is not just some trained professionals to perform some service. We are all called to be priests. From the scripture, it's now very clear. And our destiny is to be kings and priests. So we might as well get started.
Yeah.
The sooner the better. This is our calling as a share. And so it's not just for a selected few paid people. In fact, the Lord hates that kind of a system.
Correct.
And it's really important that we all enter in. And the Lord wants us to be a holy priesthood. So he's not just after one priest. He wants a priesthood. So we all need to get into it. All
right.
And it was good tonight, it was brought up. What is the first thing that we all need to do as priests? Is to worship God.
Right.
And as we read in John, chapter 4, that there are true worshipers. God is seeking true worshipers.
Right.
Why does he say that? Because there are far too many false worshipers. Mm-hmm. All kinds of worship, ways of worship, as it was shared. And the Lord needs to help us.
Yeah.
Not to just worship in any kind of way, man's way, all kinds of different ways, but come to really seek what is it that God desires.
Right.
This is really important. And it's clear from the scripture. So may the Lord really help us.
Amen.
To have such a desire to be the true worshipers of our Father.
Amen.
And God desires food.
Yeah.
And we don't have such concepts. So when we come to the meetings, we come to get something.
Right.
To learn something, right? To get some more teachings. So, yeah. We come with our hands empty. And we just want, please, teach me something. Yeah. But God's way is we all come prepared.
Right.
Not just anything, but the best of our experiences of Christ.
Yeah.
And we don't just experience Christ once a week. I hope not. Right? I hope we experience Christ every day.
Yeah,
in fact, multiple times a day. So each day we have some experiences, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And so we pick the best of all those experiences, and that is what the Father wants.
Yeah.
We don't bring the bottom. As we will share, we don't bring the leftovers. Oh, I just thought about it on my way to the meeting. We need to be preparing all week long. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so that the Father could be satisfied.
Amen.
We need to have this realization.
Amen.
Because we are dealing with holy things, with food. If you are opening a restaurant, the main thing is what? Cleanliness, sanitary. That's why they have the inspection.
Right.
You have the inspection. You know, today I've been doing a few things there and touching a lot of things in the garage and outside, inside. And when it comes to lunchtime, touching the food, what do I do? I wash my hands. I wash my hands.
Twice.
Otherwise, the food or whatever I touch that I'm going to eat, right, and to ingest into me, if they are infected, right, then is the message. as the priests, and you can really see that especially in getting in chapter 44 of Ezekiel, one thing that is required is to pay attention to the rules. In the scriptures it was said that if I have a holy thing in my hand, and I ask you to touch it, will it make you holy?
No,
it will not make him holy just because he touched the holy thing. But if I am defiled and I touch that holy thing, that holy thing will be defiled.
Right.
The opposite is not true. So we are dealing with not just holy thing, but most holy thing. Most holy thing. This is why we need to have a consciousness of the Lord. Sanctify me.
Right.
I would pursue holiness. Hebrews says, sanctify me holy, or be holy because I am holy. So this is another point that is very wonderful in a sense concerning the priesthood. The adjective, two things, holy and royal. Holy. So, let us all be enlightened and tell the Lord, Lord, sanctify me every day.
Amen.
Wash me, cleanse me by your precious blood.
Yeah.
Right? And also, cleanse me not only by your blood, but by the living water.
Mm-hmm.
The organic cleanse. Which is very important. Because this is absolutely necessary for the priest. A holy nation. Now look at the nations today in this world. Is there any holiness? It's full of corruption in this world. But what about the church? God's church. His nation. If his nation is just as fallen and corrupt as all the other nations, then it cannot be his nation. Then God will have to give up that nation like he did with Israel. So what is more important? Just that we do some good things or that we are holy. If we are not holy and not righteous, then that thing is absolutely useless for God. So this word holy is very important. This is a heavenly restaurant. You know, the best hotels in the Philippines, they hire the chef mainly for Europe because they are super clean. They're super clean, actually. I know, always we go in the Philippines, we're in an Italian restaurant there, right? And that's an Italian chef is there. Every night at the end of the day, they have to clean and shine everything in the kitchen. Everything is so clean and shiny. And if it's not clean, that chef will be shouting, screaming and shouting to the and they'll lose their job. What about the heavenly kitchen? Just give us the consciousness today that we are not only a priest, but a bounden priest.
Amen.
And you say we need to share the hope of this and pursue
this.
Because this is His divine nature. God is holy.
Yes.
Only He is holy. Now, by His life within us, now we need to be those who pursue.
Amen.
Amen. When you say, when we talk a lot about being cleansed by the blood, but you said by your living water. What's the difference between being cleansed by the blood and by the water?
The blood cleanses away all our sins and defiles them. Right? But in our soul life, there's a natural aspect. And many times it may not be evil, it may not be bad, but it's natural. In our fallen state, our natural man is there, and the blood cannot cleanse the natural. But the living water, the spirit, and through this spiritual food that we have as inward metabolism. Right? But if you take a shower, I just took a shower before I came. It cleanses me out of here. I'm really cleansed. I feel very clean outside. But that shower and the soap cannot clean my inward part must be cleansed by something living, organic. That's why the food we eat must be clean and not defiled. That's why we drink a lot of water. Drink water, sure.
Yes.
Now, what are you doing, water? Just one cup a day? Because that water will clean us inward. So we have an outward cleansing, but we also have an inward cleansing. When you went for a colonoscopy, you need an inward cleansing. You cannot tell the doctor, no, I'm clean, I just took a shower.
Right.
The doctor will tell you, go home.
Cleanse the inside.
You need a different cleansing. You need an inward cleansing. That's why you have an outward cleansing, but you also have an inward cleansing. Cleansing by the name of the Lord, cleansing by the Spirit of our God, right? By the living water, by the washing of the water in the Word, in Ephesians chapter 5. That's why we need to drink the living water. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There is an outward cleansing by the blood, and there is an inward cleansing by the living water.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many times the inward cleansing is more important than the outward cleansing? That doesn't mean that the outward cleansing is not necessary. That's why the Lord told the Jews, you hypocrite, cleanse the inside first, and then the outside. So every time I'm cleaning a pot or something, I remember that first. Then I say, clean the inside is good enough, but no, then I should turn the pot around and clean the outside, including the bottom. Inside and outside. Don't just clean the outside, but the inside is full of dead bones. And don't just clean the inside and forget about the outside, and then your pot will be so black and oily, and that's not good either.
Right.
Then I cannot believe that the inside is really clean.
No testimony of the inside.
So, learn to do both.
Yeah.
Learn to do both. Yes.
So how do you do inside cleaning?
Oh, we just said it. Firstly, the Word of God cleanses us inwardly. It is even written in what the Lord said in John chapter 7. Sanctify them by your truth.
Yeah.
Your Word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the Word of God can cleanse us. Shine upon us inwardly. Even rebuke us. And then cleanse us to make the man of God perfect. So then there is water, spirit in the Word. So Ephesians chapter 5 says he will sanctify us and cleanse us by the washing of the water. In the Word. So you are cleansed by the Word, the Lord said. That's why when we read the Word, don't just read for knowledge. Knowledge will not cleanse you, but you must open your heart and the Lord shine upon you. The light is important. Because if I don't have the light, then I do not see that I am dirty.
Right?
Then I have a problem. So when I come to the Word and I'm open to the Lord speaking, the living speaking of the Word, the light shines into me and I realize, oh Lord, I'm turning. I turn to you. So in that moment when I turn to the Lord, then the living water through the Word opens me. So the inner cleansing has much to do with the living speaking, the living Word of God. No wonder the Lord says, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit
and they are life.
So this is the organic inward cleansing. The food you eat and the water that you drink is not only to nourish you, but to cleanse you as well. So be careful what you eat. As I say, you are what you eat. Spiritually too.
Don't eat junk food, you become junk.
You eat candies every day.
Into candy.